So a few points on chapter 28, Perek Chaf Ches. One thing from the end of Toldos, and then we'll go two things from Vayetze, and that will probably be our time. So number one is this point that Rashi made yesterday about Eino Yodea Mamilamdo. Then Pasuk Hey, Perek Chaf Ches Pasuk Hey, it says Vayishlach Yitzhak Es Yaakov Vayelch Padan Aram, that Yitzhak sent Yaakov to go to Padan Aram to Lavan, the son of Besuel Arami. Achi Rivka im Yisrael ve'Esav, the brother of Rivka, the mother of Yaakov and Esav. So two questions. The main question is, why do we need all this stuff? We know who Besuel was, we know who Lavan was already, and we know who Rivka was, and we know Yaakov and Esav were. So why is all of that thrown into that pasuk? Rashi says, I don't know. We had that issue yesterday with the Sifsei Chacham, where he says, well, if you don't know, just don't say anything. He says, no. He knows, but he doesn't know. He knows what possible pshatim are, but he doesn't know what is the pshutil shel mikra, the simple explanation in the pasuk. So the Ramban makes a comment here where he says, clearly going on Rashi, where he says, "Bavur Shamar Shetziva Yitzah is in Pasuk Hey. Bavur Shamar Shetziva Yitzah Kes Yaakov Lakachas Lo Yishami Benos Lavan Achi Imo Hiskira Kasu Shahaya Gamkein Achi Imo Shel Esav." That it wanted to make the point that when he's going to take a wife from the daughter of Lavan, who is the brother of his mother, it also wants to mention that Lavan is the brother of the mother of Esav. V'roi hayashi yitzavim gam kein Esav, because it also made sense that this command should go to Esav. Avam midaito shebirkas Avram ti Eliyakov luzaro asa kein. But because his intention was that the birka of Avram should go to Yaakov and to his descendants, that's why he did this. I mean, he's pointing out, it sounds like, the connection between Yaakov and Esav in order to make a distinction between Yaakov and Esav. That Yaakov, you have this command, even though he's just as related to Esav as he is to you, meaning Lavan is just as related to Esav as he is to you, still, you're the one doing this because you're the one that's going to be Zaro Shel Avram, and therefore you have to go back and find a wife from him. Well, Yitzchak. Oh, you're right, he doesn't say it. Okay, so Hashem is pointing it out.
Okay, he has to point it out.
Well, Hashem is pointing out that Yaakov is getting to do this as opposed to Esav. Yeah. So, v'hiskir ki Esav shama shetziva oso shelo yikach ish meibnos kenan. Now, it also mentions this because Esav heard this, that he shouldn't marry from the doors of Canaan. V'shil chaslov and achi imo abhu shemal lasos ratzon aviv shelo kachas isha mibinos Canaan. So he
was sent to Lavan, and he hears to do, and he wants to do the will of his father, not to take the woman from the Benos of Canaan.
Ach lo asa kera'oi shiikach mibinos Lavan afal pishahu achi imo. But he didn't do kera'oi as is fit to take from the daughters of Lavan, even though Shehu Achimo, even though he was the brother of his mother. I mean, he did half of what his father wanted. He didn't marry a daughter of Canaan, but he didn't marry a daughter of Canaan, which was the right thing to do, but he also didn't go to Haran, which was not necessarily the right thing to do. Vod hiskar shalaka choso al nasha, velo garish esa aros, ki helach al taivas nasha, yosem yirasan aviv. And he also mentions that he maintained all of his other wives, who happened to be from Benos Canaan, and because he was really just keeping up with his taivas, his desires, and it's not such a wonderful thing. So that's the Ramban's pshat, right? The Ramban's pshat, why does it invoke Esav as being the daughter of Rivka here? Simply to point out that Esav has the same relationship, and Esav is not doing the same thing as Yaakov, and the two brothers are going their own separate ways, literally. The Or HaChaim adds in and says, Sarach Ladas Lama Hutzrach Lomar Achi Rivka Milo Yada Bezeh. Did we know that he already is the brother of Rivka? Umagam Shesamach Omer Kein Odam Ru Im Yaakov Esav Him Dvarim Yisem. Also, the issue with Yaakov and Esav seems to be things that are extra. Achein Ba Kasev Latis Tam Li Yitzchak Avinu Sheshalach Ben Tzadik La Adam Rasha Meforsam Lavan Harami. So rather, the Or HaChaim says, what's going on here? It's trying to give us an understanding as why in the world is Yitzchak sending Yaakov over there. that doesn't seem like a great place to pick up a wonderful woman either. Lavan's not such a great guy, and who do you think his children would have been? So that's a good. So Vegam Shavram Shalach Velakach Rivka Loya Besum Mefursim Brashak Lavan. Right, when Avram went and took and got Rivka from over there, Besuel wasn't this famous Russia like Lavan is. But Avram Sheikach Besuel. Not only that, Avram didn't say explicitly to take the daughter of Besuel. He just said, "Go over there, and you'll find a nice girl over there." But Yitzchak is commanding him explicitly, "I want you to marry the daughter of a Rasha, the daughter of an evil person."
It was much more specified than when
Avram did. So that's what needs explanation. That's what needs explanation. Why are you so insistent? And how do you know that Lavan has some wonderful Beis Yaakov girl? Well, literally, a Beis Yaakov girl, a woman who is destined to be Beis Yaakov. How do you know that even exists? Much less that is what is the appropriate thing to do. Well, whether Jewish or not, I don't think isn't even the issue right now.
I thought that was the reason why you wanted to marry the Canaanite.
Well, the Kenite women are they were just bad. They were, they had bad midos, and they had, and besides that, they were also cursed. I mean, the Kenanite, right, from the curse from the end of Parshas Noach, okay. Right? That family is already out.
Even though he's from Russia,
yeah,
he's not Jewish.
Well, nobody's technically Jewish, but
isn't a question of gradation here?
No kind.
What?
Avram hadn't had his bris.
He had a bris, but nobody's disqualified. There's no issue of intermarriage at this point. There's only issue of somebody from certain stocks maybe is out of the picture.
Certain midos that you would be better off going to than others.
All right, the drasha I gave in my tryout Shabbos in Phoenix, I remember, was on this topic. Why is it better to take the woman from, it was on Parshas Chayi, Sarah. So why are you better off taking a woman from there that is an Uvde Avodah Zarah, who grew up in a house in Avodah Zarah, rather than from Avram's own milieu, where it could be that people weren't necessarily Uvde Avodah Zarah? The answer is that they also had the ability that the midos were better there than the midos were here, and therefore, and good midos, while over the avodah zarah, trumps bad midos and not being over the avodah zarah, because you can teach about God and anti avodah zarah much more easily than you can teach about midos and changing that, etc. Okay, so anyway, so the Or HaChaim says what's going on. We have to understand why Yitzhak was so insistent that you go to that particular family. Laze Amar Achi Rivka b'shneim yatsu mibesuel Rasha. So therefore, he points out the brother of Rivka. Why the brother of Rivka? Again, you're right. Yitzhak didn't necessarily say this in the pasuk, but it could be that this is what Yitzhak is implying. That go marry the sons of Lavan, because the daughters of Lavan, because it's true that their father might be Lavan, but guess what? Their aunt was Rivka. So it could be that there's some good there. And v'shneim yatsu b'suul Rasha, and they both came from Besuel, meaning Besuel had Rivka and Besuel had Lavan. V'chemokein yatsu milavan bas tzedekah. So just as Besuel was an okay, well, no, it's calling Besuel harasha, but similarly, Lavan also could have a righteous daughter. Gam ein lo chiach shlo yatsa shal shela shorish kedusha mi adam rasha laze amar im Yaakov ve'esav peyush hareishi yatsa shal shela hakedusha mi av rasha. Therefore, it comments that you can have Yaakov and Esav to explain shiyatsa shal shela, that a chain of kedusha can come from an av rasha, that even though Besuel was a rasha, you can still come waver back and forth. Gauke in lahachli v'lomer ki lios Lavan Rasha lo yatsu menu benos Rivka. So also don't say that just because Lavan is a Rasha, you're not going to be able to have a daughter like Rivka. So he's pointing out that Rivka's like Lavan, that Rivka and Lavan both come from the same place, and Yaakov and Esav both come from the same place. So, and one comes from a Rasha parent, one comes from a Tzaddik parent. So it's not necessarily conclusive that just because somebody doesn't have the best parent means that you're going to
have a problem. The Or HaChaim goes on to say, as you can see, it's a very long Or HaChaim, so I think we'll stop here in it, but he goes on to say that what's this whole story, though? Like, you couldn't find a nice girl that didn't have a love? I mean, ideally we try to find girls who come from, you know, it's a good idea to marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. So what's this talking about? Why are you taking your chances about, well, you know, you got 50-50, Rivka and Lavan, I mean, one of them is good. Yeah, 50-50, Yaakov and Esav, one of them is good. So what's going on here? Well, because Bnei Yisrael wasn't yet complete yet. That the idea that we're going to have an Am Yisrael and that they're going to marry within themselves, that's not a completed topic yet. Not just because they haven't gotten the Torah yet and have been designated as a nation, but because what's the greatest proof that Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov still have to get people from outside of the tribe, sort of, from outside of their immediate tribe? What's the biggest proof? Because there are no girls yet, right? So in order to marry, in order to continue on, they're going to have to find a girl from someplace. So where are you going to find these girls? So the House of Lavan might be your best bet. That seemed to be the implication.
They wanted to stay within the bloodline of Avram.
Yeah, but in a way they're out of the bloodline already. Well, they're cousins. So how do you should go and find a cousin? Well, that's your best shot. Your best shot is going to be to find a cousin. Yeah, right. But you can't say that it's secluded, that we're now... Right, but you can't say that they're a self-contained tribe yet, because they're still going to have to find girls from outside. Yeah, so what happened to all those people? Yeah. What happened to all those people is a big, big mystery.
So they don't exist. They're not followed. There's no
followers.
It's just
this
family.
The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah talks about them. He talks about how he had thousands and tens of thousands of students, and there's a line there that he has about them seemingly to just vanish and him concentrating on Yitzhak. So take a look there, what the issue was. I don't remember right now what to say on it. Okay, let's skip a little bit forward. Kuf Ches Pasuk Yud Aleph 28:11 in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze. This is a classic example of Rashi of a grandfather grandson fight between a knockdown drag out brawl taking place between Rashi and his grandson the Rashbam. Rashi was supposed to be a Pashtun. He was supposed to be telling the Pshat in the Pasuk. The Rashbam is constantly picking on Rashi that he didn't do a good enough job giving the Pshat in the Pasuk. Rashi did a very good job considering what came before him. I'm once looking into this that the idea of using Chumash as something to learn Pshat from was almost non-existent before the time of Rashi. So Rashi was a big Baal Mechadesh, and could be he would have gone further, but the Rashbam took over for him, and at some place around here, Rashbam actually says this out loud. Pshat is the simplest explanation. So what does it mean, the simple explanation? So let's take a look at Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayifgaba Makom, they came to that place. Vayalin Sham Kiva HaShemesh, and he rested there for the sun was setting. Vayikach me'avnei ha'makom, and he took from the stones of the place. Vayasa merosh asav, he put it under his head. Vayishkav b'makom ahu, and he rested in that place. So we did it. So this Rashi is very famous. There's a lot of famous Rashis here for the midrashic explanations that Rashi brings. Vayifkav b'makom, what does it mean he came to the place? So it says Rashi, lo hisker kan ezem makom, rather it's referring to Har Moriah. Okay. Vayifka, what does it mean vayifka? So Rashi comments, that we learn from here that this is where he established the Maariv prayer. And teaches that the land actually contracted, that Yaakov had gone too far and it had to be contracted for him to come back to this place. Okay. Kiva HaShemesh. What does it mean, Kiva HaShemesh? Hayalo lichto vayavo HaShemesh ve'al HaShemesh. Should have said vayavo HaShemesh. What does it say, Kiva HaShemesh? So Rashi says, Kiva HaShemesh mashma sheshakalo chama pitom shloba unasa, that the sun set immediately and not at its right time, kadeshi yalin sham, so that he would rest there. that it was the middle of the day, or it was still daytime, and Hashem said, oh, Yaakov's here, let's pull the shade down, right? Get the sun off the set so that Yaakov goes to sleep. Okay? These are all based off, well, actually, Gemaras in Maseches Chulin, but this is Rashi quoting from the Gemara. And then the idea of Vayasim Rosh Hashav, the stones around his head, and then Vayishkav Makomahu, when he rested in that place, right? The stones around the head was about the stones arguing with one another about who's going to be closest to the head, and then he rested in that place, that he rested there, but the 14 years before, he didn't rest. That's the Rashi quotes here, that while he was learning Shem Ve'Ever, he didn't go to sleep at night, whatever that means. So the Rashbam picks up on all this. And you can see the Rashbam is on the bottom of the page here, Yud Aleph. He says, Vayifka b'makom. What does he mean, Vayifka b'makom? Ir lo darko b'makom echad chutz mi'ir Luz. That he got to this place right outside the city of Luz. And he rested there, kiva hashemesh. V'lo haya lo p'nai lichanis bi'ir bayom. Because he didn't have time to get into the city. Meaning, what's bothering Rashi? What was bothering Rashi was, why did he just stay in this random place? Right? So Rashi's answer is, well, because Hashem took the sun out of the, right? So the Rashbam says, no. He got to this place outside of Luz, and why did he stay there as opposed to in the city of Luz, right? Well, because he didn't have time, he just ran out of time. That's what the pasuk means. He was driving as fast as he could on the highway in order to get home for Shabbos, and he didn't get there in time. So he had to stay outside of the city of Luz. As Rav says, why didn't he just walk the rest of the way into Luz? It's not so far away from Har Moriah into Luz, right? Kida Amar Rav Yehuda, Liolam Yachtis Adam Bechito V'yata Bechito. That's a Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, the very beginning of Pesachim. A person should really come in nicely. What does it mean, nicely? During the daytime. For somebody to show up in a city in nighttime in that era, right, is just odd, right? It ain't going to work. So therefore, he's staying outside. So why is he staying outside the city? So Rashi is, well, because Hashem made this whole situation in order so that he rests there. The Rashbam says, no, he stayed there because he didn't have a choice. Right? And his last term is by Yikach. How does he translate the word by Yikach? Achas, may avne hamakom, from the stones that were there. As opposed to Rashi, who says, right, and that explains the other part. I mean, Rashi had this conflict. Rashi says here, he took the stones, and five psukim later, it says he took the stone. So Rashi's got this problem, how did it get from stones to stone? So Rashi says, well, there were these stones, and they were talking to each other, and they had a fight, and they got into a rumble, and the parent came in and separated them, and then put them together, and said, fine, you'll all, right? He has this whole story about this conversation between the stones. The Rashbam says, no, I'll tell you very simply, Vayikach Achas. He took one of the stones. Right? Kedichsiv. And how do I know that he took one of the stones? Because five psukim later it says, Vayikach es ha'evan. He took the one stone that was there under his head. Right? Without this whole midrashic explanation about what's going on there.
So the Rashbam is saying initially he took. He's actually changing it from the stones to
right.
One.
He's bothered by the same question. But rather than invoke this whole medrash, which, it's there, but he said, but the Rashbam is saying, I give the pshat, the simplest explanation in the pasuk. The simplest explanation is, just add in one word, achas. It took one of the stones. Now you could ask on the Rashbam, well, why did the pasuk just say that? Right? Why does it, instead of saying, why is it a relevant fact that he took this stone and there were many stones, and once in a while, just say Vayikach Evan.
Right.
Yes, that's a good question.
Yes, grammatically.
It's a good question. That's what he says.
The way it's translated here is he took of the stones of the place.
He took of. I mean, upstairs in your in the blue pentateuch. Linear translation took of the stones. Yeah, so that's right. So he's using. Yeah, that's the Rashbam's pshat.
He took from the stones.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I bet you. If anybody here have the Art Scroll Rashi. I bet you. No.
I have the stone edition.
I bet you if you would look in the Art Scroll Rashi, because I remember looking. I remember when the Art Scroll Rashi came out. I remember being curious to notice that the translation in the Art Scroll Rashi was different than the Art Scroll Stone. I mean, which one is it? Like, why would you change it? So the answer is
about stones.
That the trans what?
Let's talk about stones.
So the difference is that the Art Scroll Rashi translates the Chumash according to the Pshat of Rashi. That's not the Art Scroll. That's the
Rashi.
I understand, but they don't claim to. You can look in the introduction and see if there's an introduction of his methodology there. I don't think there is.
The whole system started with them.
But it just goes to the point that there's no such thing as a translation. They're always elucidations. Every translation is really an elucidation. Okay, I want to go to one more little tumult that takes place towards the end of this parak here, parak Chaf Ches, pasuk Yud Ches. No, Pasuk Yud Tes. Or Pasuk Chaf, actually. Pasuk Yud Tes and Pasuk Chaf. That Yaakov gets up and he realizes he's in this like really miraculous and holy and special place. And then he says, and the Pasuk Chaf is, Vayidar Yaakov Nedelimor. He takes this neder saying, Im Yael Kimi Madiyush Marani Bederach Azar Asher Anuchi Olech, and Asani Lechem Lechol Vegad Elavosh. Hashem is with me and he watches me on the road and he gives me food and he gives me clothing, and I return in peace, Vishafti Bisholom Besavi, Vayah Hashem Li Lelokim. Then Hashem will be for me a God. Right? So that's pretty insulting to do at this point. I would think maybe he could do this before the dream. He can make a deal with God. But after this dream that he has with God, where God says, don't worry, you're going to be the seed of Avram, and everything's going to go through you, and everything's going to be wonderful and okay, for him to get up and says, okay, here's the deal. If everything works out, I'll do this God thing. If not, I'm out. Right. What's he talking about here? How does he pull off this stunt? What is he saying here? So Rashi seems to spell it out as a neder. Although Rashi doesn't, I'm not sure he says it ever so clearly that way, but that's the way the Ramban paraphrases Rashi. If you look at the Ramban in Chaf Aleph, the Ramban says, Inenu tenai kedivri Rashi. This is not a tenai, a condition, like Rashi said, aval hu haneder. Rather, it is a neder. Vinyano, and the answer, and he's saying, Imashuv el beis avi avod Hashem hamiyuchar ba'aris hanifcharta b'makom ha'evin hazos shetiyeli lebeis elukim v'sham utzi es ha'maiser. That I'll come back to this place and I'll be able to take off the maiser. That's the way, so im, he's kind of fudging the word im, saying, when I come back here after being healthy and after being fed and after being clothed, I'll do this whole God thing. That seems to be the way the Ramban is learning it out. So why is he not God until that point? The Ramban continues, and he says, V'yesh be'inyan sod, and this is a secret. Mima, I don't know if it's translated in the Arsko Ramban or not, but he says, He invokes the Gemara in Ksuvis, which the Ramban has invoked. We've learned Ramban's invoking this already a few times, where he says that somebody's trying to serve Hashem in Chutz La'aretz is like one does not have a God. So this is it. This is it. Why does the Yaakov? So what does it mean? You're making a condition with God. Oh, if everything works out. So no, it's really a neder. When everything works out, I'll come back here and you'll be my God. What about until then? What about until then? So Yaakov says, what do you mean until then? I'm leaving now. I'm outside of Eretz Yisrael for a while. When I come back, you'll be my God once again. That's the pshat in that Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos. That's what the Ramban says.
Because he's also bringing in the fact that when he comes back, everything's going to be
He still doesn't.
And therefore, he's already born. Yeah. We could infer.
Yeah, so he's not making condition. He's making an assumption. That's the way. And what about the time in between? No, that's okay because the Ramban says many times that outside of Eretz Yisrael is not the same way as keeping mitzvos, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. Comes the Sforno. The Sforno is here, not there, but in the blue you don't have page. If you have the red, it's there. He explains what all of these conditions are. And then on page Tachkaf Lamadav, it says, Vayah Hashem li lelukim. And the Sforno says, Az ye Hashem l'dayan im lo avduhu b'kol chochi. Then Hashem will judge me if I didn't serve him with all of my strength. What does he mean by that? The vav kemozos mashmeshes b'makom hinei. The vav is
that end means v'hinei, behold, when this happens. Kolomar, hineni mekabel alai me'ata sha'el yisparach hamerachim yeli lelukim b'isnoig ime b'midas hadin. I'm hereby accepting upon myself that the merciful God can judge me as a judging God, assuming everything works out okay. What is he saying? So he's saying that I'm in. I am in, and I am going to serve God with all of my power. The only thing is, I need a little help here, right? I'm going on the road here, and if everything is provided for me, when I get back, you'll be able to judge whether I did it appropriately. And I'm willing to accept that judgment, and that's what he means in this pasuk, right? In the beginning part, he says, Vayidar Yaakov neder limor, im yet, which, by the way, the pasuk says neder, it's an oath like the Ramban, right? Im yet Elokim madi, if God is with me this whole time, provides me with all of these things that I need to serve Hashem, Hashem li lelokim. What is the term Hashem yudke vavke? That represents the midas harachamim, the merciful part of God. Elokim is the judgment king of God. So the merciful God can be a judgment God, and you'll have the right to judge whether I did it appropriately or not. That is a totally different perspective on what he's saying here. Right? But assuming I'm given everything, you'll judge whether I did it correctly. When I get back here, we'll have that. That accounting will take place. The Or HaChaim adds in his own pshat, right? Pshat number 4 on this. The Or HaChaim here on the page says that v'hanachonu, what I think is correct, is she'ischavin lomer she'isyachet elav shem Hashem lelukim k'derech she'isyachet alavosav elokei Avram elokei Yitzchak am yomar alav elokei Yaakov. He's kind of piggybacking a little bit on the Sfarnos pshat. When I get back here, assuming I'm taken care of, I will be worthy of the title of Elokei Yaakov. I mean, just as there's Elokei Avram and Elokei Yitzchak, this is my test. Avram, after his test, got to be known as Elokei Avram, or you became known as Elokei Avram. After the test of Yitzchak, you became known as Elokei Yitzchak. After my tests, I'll be able to be judged, to be recognized as Elokei Yaakov, right? So 4 pshatim as to what's going on here. Rashi says, well, it's a condition, which begs explanation. You have the Ramban saying, no, it's not a condition, it's a vow, it's a neder. He's just simply taking an oath that, when I get back here, this is going to start. What about the time in between? Time in between is a time in between. That's in Chutz La'aretz, it doesn't count. That's the Ramban. Sforno is saying that when I get back here, assuming I was taken care of, you'll have the right to judge me as the judging God. Right? That's the Sforno's pshat. And then you have the Or HaChaim's pshat in, and then only then will I be able to have earned the title of being on the list of Elokei Yaakov. This is my chance to gain my spot with my father, with my grandfather, to be Elokei Avraham.
Rabbi, so what's the test? Yaakov?